following A2A one-on-one feature is a production of the nonprofit Adversity to Advocacy Alliance. The views and opinions expressed by our guests do not necessarily reflect those of A2A or advocates, allies, or ally organizations. We hope you'll find this interview both informative and inspiring. And now, here's our host, Liz St. John.
Joe Alterman is a 28-year-old critically acclaimed professional jazz pianist and composer and a longtime active supporter of A2A. He has dealt with severe obsessive compulsive disorder since he was in middle school. His compulsions were often debilitating and prevented him from achieving his potential in and out of school. At this point in his life, thanks to a combination of his own hard work, treatment, and medication, he's successfully managing his OCD. Joe, welcome and thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Do you remember a specific incident that was the start of your OCD, or was it a progressive thing that built up over time?
Well, I remember when I was growing up, I always had these little things that I called traditions, and I just thought they were things, you know, that, you know, they just made me feel more comfortable to do, like before I went to sleep, like opening the door all the way or something. But I considered them traditions. They didn't really bother me. But I do remember one day I was on a run, and I was probably 13 years old or something. And I remember coming to this crease in the street, you know, just like a break in the cement or something. And I kept having to go back and fix it with my feet. Or I felt like I had to, if I touched it in this certain way, it would fix itself. And I remember coming home that night and just, I spent like a long time with this crease and I didn't know what was going on. And my stomach was really hurting. And I remember talking to my mom and thinking I had a stomach ache. And after a while, I think my mom said something to me like, you know, that may not be like a stomach ache. You may have anxiety. And that was the first time I realized something was going on. But it took a little while for me to realize what was going on was OCD.
OCD does come in many different varieties. So your specific challenge turned out to be what?
Well, that was the start of a lot of things. And, you know, I never really had like any issues with hand washing or anything like that. So I didn't really have like the stuff that a lot of people think of OCD when they think of OCD. Most of my stuff was mental, you know, counting and fixing. And I mean, I guess there was some washing, but, you know, that wasn't the main focus. But like, for example, when I'd be in math class, you know, in high school, and say I wrote the letter, I'm taking a test and I'm writing the letter O. And when I come around to complete the circle, let's say it didn't complete the circle perfectly. So my OCD would say, rewrite that O 3 times. And then I'd mess up the third time. So then I'd have to write it 3 times, 3 times. So that'd be 9 times. And then it would just, by the end, I'd end up rewriting it like hundreds of times and I'd get through 3 letters of a test. And that was how it was very debilitating for me.
So your mom said to you, hey, maybe this is really anxiety. So how did you get from maybe anxiety to an OCD diagnosis?
A few years or maybe a couple years went by before I, you know, even heard the word OCD. I didn't know what anxiety was either. I just knew that something really weird happened that day. And after a while, I remember, you know, like long rides. I went to a school at the time that was like an hour away. So I'd have these long rides on the bus and I'd be counting all the time. And I really just thought it was something unique to me. And I thought, well, you know, there's no way anyone could possibly be, you know, I'd be looking around at everyone on the bus and, you know, I wonder if that girl that's sitting over there quietly, you think she's counting too? And in my head, I'm thinking, no way. There's no way anyone else is dealing with this stuff. So I thought it was just my own little thing. And there was no way for me to talk to anyone about it because I didn't think it existed outside of myself. And then after a while, I remember I was browsing on the internet one night. I remember back then in middle school or high school, whenever it was, I just come home from school. Me and all my friends, all we do is go, you know, go to school, come home and like get in a chat room and all chat together and like browse the internet, which I never do anymore. But somehow I came across the word OCD and I read about it, you know, and I said, God, that's it. And I just went downstairs to my parents and like broke down and told them this is definitely it. And they had never heard of it, but luckily they're good. So they helped, you know, they were understanding and they got me a good doctor. But it took a long time to realize that it was a real thing. Glad I figured that out, obviously.
Then working with the doctor, what treatments, just sort of in general, what did you do to help get on the path to feeling better?
Well, at first we started off with drug treatment, I guess, and I tried a lot of different medicines. Eventually, I found an anxiety medicine that did help me lower my anxiety, but it wasn't until I met a behavior therapist that I was really able to, and I don't know if conquer is the right word, but yeah, I'll say conquer my OCD, because she taught me that what was happening in my head wasn't really me. It was just something, you know, happening to me. So if I could, you know, instead of counting, getting the urge to count to, you know, 1,000 and thinking, wow, I'm, you know, this is something wrong with me. It just to realize that it was something that was happening to me, that it's not really me, kind of took the edge off a little bit. But she kind of helped me get the strength to, once I realized that it's not me, to tell it to shut up. And it took a long time. I mean, at that point, I remember I had to basically relearn how to walk, honestly, because I was constantly trying to avoid different cracks on the street. And I mean, it took a long, long time. But if I always use this analogy, it's kind of like if you're afraid of heights, the only way to get over the heights is to go up to the top of a tall building until it's not scary anymore. So for my stuff, you know, I just have to disobey whatever OCD was telling me to do until after a while it goes away. Because to me, the whole thing about OCD is it's kind of like, I don't know if like monster is the right word, but it's something that only stays alive if you feed it. And so when you act on what it tells you to do, you're only feeding it. But if you start to ignore it, it can't live. And so after ignoring it or disobeying it for years or a couple of years, it like just shrivels up and goes away and tries to come back. But, you know, if you keep telling it, if you're not going to listen to it, it can't survive. So I really think that's how cognitive behavior therapy works in treating OCD, if that makes sense.
When did you decide to share your story and why?
It was definitely while I was going through the cognitive behavior therapy. And I was noticing that my life was improving a lot, and I felt like, and I'm an optimistic guy. So I felt like I want to, you know, shed some positivity on this, because I was also starting to notice at that time some good things that came out of dealing with OCD. So I was just kind of a little upset with how I saw it in the news and in books. And because no one would talk to me, I wanted to be able to talk to people who wanted to talk to someone.
A2A is all about helping ourselves by helping others. Do you feel that part of your recovery and maintenance of health is helped by helping others?
I definitely agree with that. It gives it the whole experience, which is obviously a tough experience that a lot of people, once they get over it, don't want to talk about ever again. But for me, it put more meaning behind it, and to give meaning to a rough experience like that made it feel worth it. And so being able to help someone and having your thoughts together about what you went through and expressing that to other people and listening to what they have to say, it just makes it feel like it was worth it, really. So definitely, I think that's what it's all about.
Joe, when you hear people say, oh, I'm so OCD about cleaning my house, or I'm so OCD about this or that, I would guess that a lot of the people that say that don't really have OCD. Your thoughts on that?
Well, I remember in high school, I remember one day I was having basically a panic attack in the middle of a test because I was having to count how many times I was erasing stuff. And I ran out to the bathroom, and I overheard this girl holding, her friend said, let's grab a sip of water and then we'll, you know, we'll get going. And this one girl took a sip of water, and then she said, sorry, I'm so OCD. Sorry, I'm taking a long time. And that really, really angered me at the time, because I knew she didn't. But now that I'm 28 and, you know, a little farther away from that, I've noticed that, you know, every third date I go on with anyone, the girl tells me their stuff. So I think so everyone's got their stuff. And I think at the time, hearing someone say that really just angered me, because I felt like I was alone in my struggling. But now that I, you know, hear everyone's stuff on every few dates, I realize that everyone has their stuff. And while I definitely don't think it's a great thing that people use OCD in the wrong context. I realize that a lot of this stuff that I've heard about, I've never heard of or barely heard of. And I think that at least here having the words OCD, you know, and the common whatever vocabs of people, you know, is a good thing. I think that it might inspire some people to look up and see what it really is. I think that it may not, but I think it's better than no one talking about it at all, which is the case with a lot of the stuff I hear about. So I don't think it's terrible. I mean, it's not the best case scenario, but looking on the bright side, at least people are hearing about it.
What words of hope or encouragement can you share with others who are struggling with OCD?
Yeah, I think this is really important because when people, a lot of times I haven't heard very hopeful words of hope, except, you know, stay strong, stuff like that. And honestly, 100%, the best thing that has happened to me in my entire life was dealing with OCD. Every day I have to deal with something that I know I would not have been able to deal with as well as I am now if I had not gone through my OCD struggle. And it's made me a stronger person. The best opportunity I could have had to strengthen my mind and myself. So if you can somehow just keep that in the back of your head while you're dealing with this, good stuff will come of this.
Where can we find out more about you, and where can everyone listen to your beautiful music?
Well, I have a website, which is joealtermanmusic.com. And I have a lot of stuff on there, but I have a few CDs out that are on iTunes and Spotify, and I think you can see stuff on YouTube. So if you just type in Joe Alterman, you'll see something, but there's a lot out there.
We're so happy that you are doing well today and continuing with your music career. Good luck, wishing you continued success. And on behalf of all of us at A2A, I want to thank you for speaking with us one-on-one. Thank you so much, Joe.
Of course.
You've been listening to A2A One-on-One, an outreach project of the nonprofit Adversity to Advocacy Alliance. To listen to other one-on-one interviews and to learn more about A2A, please visit us online at a2aalliance.org. And thanks for helping us spread the word that we help ourselves by helping others.